Good morning. I'll wait a minute to show you this. Who's the smartest person you know? You? You're the smartest person you know? All right. Teenagers, so much fun. Who's the smartest person you know? You don't know? Yeah, okay. Not me. She pointed to me? Oh, okay, all right. Good job. Yeah, all right. That was smart, very smart. If you think about the smartest person you know, who's the wisest person you know? You also? Okay. The wisest person you know. Mom? Yeah? Your mom, maybe? What's the difference between being smart or knowledgeable and being wise? Experience? When you think about it, oh, you got an answer? Being as smart and knowledgeable is knowing a lot of facts, knowing a lot of information. Wisdom is sometimes the application of that or making good choices, right? Kind of a surface level. You think about it like, I am smart and knowledgeable about good nutrition and exercise and things like that. But I like ice cream. And I'd much rather have a big bowl of ice cream than go out and exercise, right? So I may be smart and knowledgeable, but I don't make wise choices when it comes to my nutrition. At least that's what my doctor says. So there's that. We think about where we get that wisdom, where we would find that wisdom. You think about the smartest people you know, the most wise people you know, making those good choices. We look to the Bible for our wisdom about God. And we look to the Bible to show us that wisdom and that there are people who have high education. There are people that have gone to school. They might have their doctorates. They might have their master's. They've gone really far in their education, and we would consider them experts in their fields. They may be really smart, but they may not be wise. And there's some people that I've met that may not have even finished high school, and they may not consider, the world may not consider them smart, but I find them to be very wise. Because it's not about everything that you know. It's kind of about who you know in this situation. So I want, because that's kind of a surface level of understanding, I brought with me today some Smarties candies. Because I thought, I want this to remind you that no matter, you could be a Smartie Pants, but that may not mean that you're wise, because wisdom comes from God. This candy is going to get eaten up pretty quick, I'm sure, and is going to disappear. But the wisdom of God lasts forever. All right, and Fred is going to take you on to a deeper dive in that, which will be much better than the way I presented it, except for without the candy. So I apologize for that. And let's head out to the junior church, guys.
I did have some candy, but I ate it before I came here. I want you to open your Bible to Proverbs chapter 9, if you will, please. Proverbs 9. We are beginning kind of a mini series of lessons here talking about God's wisdom, godly wisdom. And today we're going to be talking about the availability of God's wisdom. Solomon writes in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, he says this. He says, "The fear of the Lord is the what? The beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." It's good to be back with you this morning. I do appreciate Ben Noll preaching my place last week. And I hope everyone had a good Christmas. You know, despite the frigid cold weather and not being able to come together and worship together on Christmas Eve. I know that was a very difficult decision that the elders made, and they certainly did not take that decision lightly. But they were thinking about you, and I appreciate them, you know, our shepherds, in caring for this congregation so much. Today is January 8th. So we are 1 week into the new year of 2023. And as we look back on last year and even the years before that, we see a reoccurring theme in our society, a lack of wisdom. And Solomon, in one sentence, explained why there is a lack of wisdom. Because he says wisdom begins with fearing the Lord. And fearing the Lord does not mean being terrified of God, you know, as if he was some kind of tyrant just waiting to pounce on us in his anger. But to fear the Lord is to give him respect and reverence. And let's face it, the majority of people in the world today have very little respect and reverence for Almighty God. Do you believe that? That there's not that much respect. And when the Bible speaks of wisdom, it doesn't refer to one's intelligence, as Ben just got through telling us. It's not about a person's intelligence. You can be smart and have very little wisdom. I mean, look at Washington, D.C., okay? So the wisdom that comes from fearing the Lord is godly wisdom. And James points out in James 3, 13 through 18, that there are two kinds of wisdom. He says there is a godly wisdom and a worldly wisdom, and we're going to study that passage in a couple of weeks, okay? Now, obviously, it is godly wisdom that we are to pursue daily. Because let's face it, brothers and sisters, we are a pretty wayward flock of sheep. Aren't we? It's not that we are ignorant. More often than not, we know what we ought to do, but yet we just plainly and simply don't do it. And so our days are often spent having to endure the painful consequences of going our own way. And the course of disobedience, I mean, it's never easy, and it's certainly not new. Sadly, it's a well-worn path. But Solomon's sayings address this tendency of ours head on. And the secret of counteracting the inclination to disobedience rests with wisdom. All right? You are now in Proverbs chapter 9, so I want you to turn over to Proverbs chapter 1, if you will, please. Proverbs chapter 1, because this is exactly what Solomon is teaching in this passage. Proverbs chapter 1, beginning with verse 20, listen to what Solomon says. It's a long reading, so I didn't put it up on the screen, but just follow with me in your Bible. Wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public squares. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out in the gates of the city. She makes her speech. How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. But since you rejected me when I called and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand, since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh at your disaster. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you, and then they will call to me, but I'm not going to answer. They will look for me, but will not find me. I mean, since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurned my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety, and be at ease without fear and harm. Now, wisdom in these verses is personified as a courageous woman who stands on the street. It's symbolic, I believe, of our day-to-day life. And she stands on the streets and she shouts. She's calling out for our attention. She doesn't want us to drift throughout the day without taking her along with us as our constant companion. And Solomon is fully aware that without wisdom and knowledge as our guide, we will turn aside from the path of righteousness and follow the path of destruction. So the wise man presents us with this warning. I mean, he is saying that wisdom is available if only we give heed to its beck and call. That's what we're going to be talking about today. But next week, we will delve into the rest of Proverbs chapter 1 to see that if we ignore the call of wisdom, then we will suffer the consequences. And then on the third Sunday, we're gonna study the practical side of wisdom from James chapter 3, okay? So I want us to begin here by, first of all, understanding that wisdom is available. Say that with me. Wisdom is available. Verses 20 through 21 of Proverbs chapter 1. Now again, wisdom is seen shouting in the street. I want you to kind of picture a woman standing on the street corner crying out at those who pass by to give heed to her call. And wisdom has an important message to give. It's a divine message to share. However, the people quickly hurry by ignoring her cries. And so what wisdom does, she runs after them. She runs to the gate of the city shouting all the way. And she stands at the gate pleading with the people as they enter the city just to listen to what I have to say. And Solomon describes the great value of wisdom for those who listen and apply to his words. I'll turn your Bible over just to a page, to Proverbs chapter 3. I want you to listen to the value that we have by listening and seeking God's wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 through 15, Solomon said this. He said, "Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding. For she is more wisdom, is more profitable than silver, and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies." And listen to what he says. "Nothing you desire can compare to her." Nothing you desire can compare to God's wisdom. And as wisdom is pleading in the streets for people to listen, her cries fall on deaf ears. And shouting on the street corner was a very common practice during this time of writing, but not so much today. You know, we see people on the street corner, you know, we probably will also scurry past. I remember the first year that my family and I moved from Texas to Indiana. And I forget the exact year, Brenda might correct me, but 1993, I think it was, 93, 94. But my family, that first year we were here, my family and I took a vacation and visited Chicago during Christmas time. And we had never been to Chicago. People keep telling us, man, Chicago is so pretty during the Christmas season. It's so pretty. And so we decided to go check it out for ourselves. And while we were there, we decided to go up on Sears Tower, which is now called Willis Tower. But it was foggy that day. They would not let us go up. But we went that way anyway. And as we were walking toward the tower, a homeless lady pushing a cart begins mumbling and yelling at people as they passed. And we sheltered Southerners from small town Texas had never experienced anything like that. And so the closer we got to her, we picked up the pace and scurried past her, okay? And Solomon describes something like that, except I don't think a homeless lady was actually sharing godly wisdom. But the lesson that Solomon wants us to learn is that wisdom is always available in some form or another, crying out to us to give heed to its counsel. All right? So secondly, how then is godly wisdom made available? How is godly wisdom made available? Well, I think there are several ways the Bible talks about. First of all, it's made available through the study of God's Word. I mean, that's the most obvious, isn't it? I mean, we study God's word to gain godly wisdom. And since God created us, I think what he has to say to us in his written word will be beneficial, don't you? I mean, we need to read it, we need to study it, and listen to what God says. Now, in Psalm 119, verse 105, the psalmist said, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." And then in verse 130 of that psalm, he says, "The unfolding of your words give light, it gives understanding to the simple." God's word gives understanding to the simple. Now, again, wisdom shouted in the streets in Proverbs 1, verse 22. She asked this question, "How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge?" I mean, the simple-minded are, you know, people are gullible and easily swayed. They like the milk of God's word and not the meat. They don't like the meat of God's word because it's difficult to digest. And yet it's only through an honest and open study of God's word that the simple-minded receive understanding. The mockers and fools care nothing about the knowledge of God's word. However, simply learning Bible facts. Man, when I was in school, Sunday school, and man, that's exactly, the Sunday school teacher wanted us to make sure that we knew Bible facts. And we were tested every single Sunday. And if we did well, we got a Bible sticker on the top of our paper, you know, if we did well. And we were tested every Sunday. But yet, just simply learning Bible facts is not wisdom. And then growing up in a very legalistic church, I thought that what godly wisdom was is being able to study your Bible just to prove everybody else wrong. And I found out that is not wisdom either. That is not wisdom. I mean, God's word is more than that. And however, we got to understand the importance of not only learning God's word, but doing God's word. I want you to keep your Bibles marked in Proverbs 1, okay? But I want you to turn over to the book of James. The book of James. James talks a lot about wisdom. I want us to look at James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. James 1, 22 through 25. Listen to the half-brother of Jesus. He said, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves." Don't just listen. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, the word of God, and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. So Solomon tells us that we are not to be simply hearers of the word, listeners of the word, but we are to be doers of the word. And notice what he says. He said, if we're just a hearer of the word, we're like a man who looks in the mirror and forgets and walks away, forgets what he looks like. I mean, what's the reason? What's the purpose of looking into a mirror? I mean, here you are, you get up early in the morning, you go in the bathroom, and there you've got the bathroom mirror. And you're just kind of staring at yourself. And really the purpose of looking at Mary is that you look to see what improvements need to be made. Am I right about that? I mean, so you comb your hair, you shave, you put on your makeup. I don't know what women do. But these are the things that we do. We look at the mirror, we see what needs to be done, and we try to fix it. But if we aren't making God's word practical, and if it's not life-changing, then we are merely hearers of the word, not doers of the word. We hear what God says to improve our lives. This is what God's word says you need to do to improve your life, and then we walk away and forget what he says, and we do nothing about it. And so we've got to get into God's word if we want to gain godly wisdom. Secondly, we gain godly wisdom through accepting God's rebuke and discipline. Again, Solomon writes in Proverbs 3, verses 11 and 12, He says, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father, the one he delights in. Wisdom cries out in Proverbs 1, verse 23. If you respond to my rebuke, if you responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. I mean, she is saying, if only you would listen to me, I will bless you. If only you will listen. Now the word that is used here for rebuke, it's from a Hebrew term that means to correct, to convince, to reprove. That's what the word means. To correct, to convince, to reprove. And I often think of reproofs as God's prodding. As his prodding. You know, those unmistakable nudges, his still small voice. And they are sometimes inner promptings designed to correct our ways. They alert us to the fact that we are off course and we need to change direction. Now let me ask you, have you ever been tempted to do something wrong and then something inside you said, don't do that? You ever had that before? Don't touch it. Don't look. Don't do that. I mean, I think that's the way God speaks to us. I mean, maybe you found an envelope with several hundreds of dollars in it. And you think, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for blessing me. And then you look inside the envelope and you find a name and an address inside the envelope. And you really need the money. But this still small voice says, return the envelope. With the money inside, of course, okay? But you return the envelope. Or it could be that your family is visiting with your wife's parents. Oh, you know, they're visiting over the weekend and you have the house all to yourself. And so you get settled into your recliner with a 2-liter bottle of Mountain Dew. And a bag party of, you know, a big bag of party Dorito chips, you know. And picking up the TV remote, you start scrolling through the hundreds of programs that's on the television when you come across the mature movies category. And you're all alone. I mean, no one's going to know. And so you find a movie you want to watch and you click the remote and then all of a sudden you feel the nudge. Have you ever felt the nudge? I mean, you feel the nudge. And so you quickly change the program and watch a rerun of Highway to Heaven, okay? I mean, Michael Landon had some pretty good programming, okay? But that has happened to us, hasn't it? When Satan begins to tempt us, God is there, the Holy Spirit is there, says, don't do that. Don't do that. Walk away. Don't do it. However, sometimes God's rebukes are not small nudges at all, but they are full-blown tragedies. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7, the Hebrew writer said, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons, as his children, for what son is not disciplined by his father? I mean, sometimes nudges just don't work. They just don't work. And so God allows a crisis, hardship, to come our way to slap us in the face, to wake us up to the direction that we are headed. I mean, it took a big fish with a big appetite to convince Jonah to change directions and to do what God commanded. Samson had to lose his massive strength and be blinded and enslaved by the Philistines before he turned back to God. The entire nation of Israel had to go into Babylonian captivity for 70 years before they completely turned away from idols and placed their faith in God and only God once again. The Apostle Paul, then known as Saul of Tarsus, had to be blinded on the way to Damascus before he got the picture that the church that he had been persecuting actually did belong to Jesus Christ. And we got to realize that sometimes we face these problems and difficulties, and it's a way that God is saying, listen, Fred, just listen to me. I'm trying to help you here. And sometimes we have to face a crisis to get us to open our eyes to the direction that we are headed. But then the Hebrew writer goes on to say, in Hebrews 12, verse 11, he says, and no discipline seems pleasant at the time. Can we get an amen to that? I mean, no discipline seems to be pleasant at the time, but it's painful to us. But later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. I mean, we face discipline because God loves us so much that he says, man, the way you're going now is going to lead to your destruction. Turn around. Turn around. God allows us to go through those tough times to strengthen us. But then, thirdly, another way that we gain godly wisdom is through fervent prayer. Fervent prayer. James, once again, James 1 verse 5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Now, frankly, I don't quite know how one receives wisdom through prayer. It could be that God will place a person in a situation where wisdom is made available, possibly. Or maybe, you know, God will simply open a man's eyes to the direction that he should be going and the decisions that he should make. That God just lets us know, man, this is not right for me. And however it comes, the writer, James, tells us in verse 6 that we are to ask without doubting. So however it comes, just trust God. Trust God, pray for wisdom, and trust God to provide it for you. Amen? All right. And then finally, we gain godly wisdom through the wise counsel of others. I believe that God places people in our lives who at various times impart wisdom that we need at that particular moment. And that person just happens to say what we need in that moment. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15, Solomon says, the way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. And then he goes on to say in chapter 19, verse 20, he says, listen to advice, listen to counsel, and accept instruction, and in the end, you will be wise. Has anyone given you advice that you ignored, and then later found out that if only you would have listened, if you would have listened, it would have saved you a lot of heartache? Is that, let me just see your hands, okay? Is that, I'm the only one? Okay, we got a few people, okay? I mean, I've been guilty of that. I mean, we spurn the wise counsel of parents, of our husbands and wives, even our children. We spurn the wise counsel of preachers and elders and teachers and friends and even your boss and your coworkers. And we spurn their wise counsel, and then we get ourselves in a mess. I mean, the wisdom that Solomon writes about can come from almost anyone, even from those that we least expect. I mean, we have an example of one having wise counsel from a donkey. So, man, listen, you got to listen up, okay? From those that we least expect. The wisdom that Solomon tells us here is that we just simply need to listen. And wise counsel can also come by way of reproofs. By way of reproofs from our loved ones. It could come from our children who say something like, Dad, man, you sure have been gone a lot. Or Mom, you seem to be in a bad mood all the time. It can come from employers. You're not showing up. You're not showing the same enthusiasm you once did. Or you've been coming in late recently. It can come from a friend. Is something wrong? Man, your attitude has really been negative. It can come from your wife who says, I feel that you've been getting rather selfish, hon. It could come from a husband. You know, you don't seem to be very happy these days. Are you aware that the tone of your voice has been harsh? I mean, if the wisdom of others is in accordance to God's wisdom, no matter who it comes from, please listen to what they have to say. Don't get defensive, because isn't that where we usually go? When someone comes to us and point out something that is in our life that's just not right, we often get defensive. But don't get defensive. Just let God's wisdom shine through. Solomon urges us to listen for God's wisdom and apply it to our daily lives. I want you to understand, brothers and sisters, that no one loves you more than your heavenly Father. And He truly wants what is best for us. And God's wisdom is readily available to us in many forms, but sometimes we allow the wisdom of the world to override the wisdom that comes from God. And we invariably listen to the voice of politicians, celebrities, news outlets, social media, worldly friends, false teachers, and many more sources, instead of listening and giving heed to the voice that really matters, the one who truly loves us and wants what is best for us. And so in our pursuit of wisdom, we want to make sure that we are following the right directions. And the one who Himself is all wise delights in giving wisdom to His children. And we only need to give heed to His beck and call. So here's the question I want you to consider today is this. Whose voice are you listening to? Whose voice are you listening to? Which one? Because we hear all those different voices every day. Every day these voices tell us, these people who that we might deem as wise, tell us things that we know absolutely is not found in the Bible. We know it's wrong. We know this is not how God wants us to live. And yet sometimes we listen to those voices over God Almighty, who loves us so much. Man, you know, I can remember when I first got on Facebook. And it's been now probably, I don't know, 15 years ago, 17 years, I don't know how long, but I've been on it a long time now. And I thought, man, this is a great way to be able to connect with family and friends that I haven't seen forever, you know, and you get on there, you know, and then you find the people who know you, and you start accepting friend requests, and, you know, and you ask for friend requests, and all these things here, and you get all these people, you know, and but then you realize that sometimes what happens is that the people that we love and admire, they are just not very wise. And they're always listening to all these other voices. And sometimes they post things that I know absolutely is not biblical. And I have, and some of you within this church even, I have sent out private messages and say, you know, man, this passage is just not what you think it says. And then we look at that, or man, I saw something here that concerns me. And then I say, if you see something that concerns you, will you reach out to me? And then I was called out on one day for something I posted I thought was just a funny joke. But then I was called out by one in this church who said, Fred, really, man, I think that's just not right. It sounds funny, but if you really read it again, man, it's hurtful and it's hateful. So what we often do, we hear those voices coming through Facebook and Twitter and the news and, you know, celebrities and movies and all these things, and we kind of think that that makes more sense than what God's Word says. Or those people seem sometimes even more loving than God. Because God will tell it like it is. And the way He tells it like it is, even the things that we don't want to hear, is because God says, I am the one who love you. Don't listen to those other voices. You listen to me. Because I'm the one who's going to get you into heaven. Not those voices. If you're here today, and if you look at your life, and man, thank wisdom. Maybe there's some things that you've been struggling with. We will be singing the invitation song in just a moment here. And it's just a way for us to really refocus. And to understand that man, we listen to the world too much. And when we get into James, we're going to be talking about the worldly wisdom and godly wisdom, and we're going to see the practical side of that and how we are to apply, especially when it relates to people. But if there's things in your life today that, man, you know, that you just need help with, you need prayer over, that's what the family of Christ is all about. That's why we're here. We want to help you. We want to pray with you, whatever that need might be. Maybe you've been looking at your life and you may not even have even accepted Christ yet as your Lord and Savior. I want to talk to you about that because God loves you so much. He loves you so much. Whatever that need might be, we want you to come as together we stand and we sing.